Good evening. It is good to see each of you this beautiful Sunday evening. Hopefully you had a chance to be outside today and enjoy a little bit of springtime and God's creation. But it's good to have each of you here tonight. Encourage all who will to stay in the fellowship afterwards in the fellowship hall. We have our committee meetings, and it's always helpful to have input from a lot of different folks. Committee meetings are sort of an open thing. You can join and move around the different committees. We have committees over different topics, and this is one of the ways that we can help support the elders here at the church with these different areas. And over the years, great things have come out of the committee, so I encourage you to plan on staying afterwards tonight if you can at all and be a part of that. As most of you know, we do have a mission trip coming up this summer to Trinidad and Tobago, and our primary focus there is Mauru. It's a congregation there in the town of Mauru. It's a small congregation, just a few people, and we're going there to help them with a vacation Bible school. We'll be there for, we'll be leaving on Sunday the 14th, arriving in the port of Spain that evening late, and then we're going to spend one night there and then drive over to Mauru, and that's where we'll be for the biggest part of the week there with a vacation Bible school. And I was told soon after we made the commitment that I would be called upon maybe to preach some while we were there, and I thought, oh my, it's been a while since I've preached without assistance of PowerPoints or other kind of means and media, so I thought I needed to spend some time just preaching without any kind of accompaniment, and so tonight's the second night in doing that, and I appreciate the feedback we got last time, and again, I covered that this time as well. Anything that we could do to improve or share the message in a way that you think would be very meaningful for folks. We sort of picked a theme, focused on Jesus for the Vacation Bible School, the sort of the first lesson in the theme was, who is Jesus? That's the first lesson. And we've identified several different things that we hope to accomplish in those days there with the kids. And tonight's lesson is, you know, Jesus is my friend. And this is one of the, hopefully we're going to sort of embed this idea in the hearts and minds of the people in Trinidad and Tobago and the children is there as well. In the late 1800s, two brothers, Dr. Will and Dr. Charlie, everyone called them, that they really sort of began being very dedicated in how they're approaching medicine. And they were doing somewhat advanced surgeries for the time with some amazing outcomes. People were getting well, things that people had been dying of very often that they were very successful in doing. And they were local doctors in this small town in Minnesota that they weren't world-renowned people at that point in time. But they were having these amazing outcomes. Now, to their credit, they gave a lot of their success to the Catholic sisters who worked at St. Mary's Hospital. They said they were the ones providing the really post-operative care and things. They gave a lot of credit to them. But people were traveling because they kept their notoriety began growing. And so Dr. Will and Dr. Charlie, as people in the town called them, were beloved people. But before they knew it, that they sort of became very popular people. In fact, people from around the U.S. and then eventually around the world were making their way to Rochester, Minnesota. It wasn't some big town. It wasn't some metropolis. It was just a small town in Minnesota. But these two brothers would eventually establish a clinic in 1914. And even today, this many years later, it still becomes a world-renowned association when you think of medicine. Now, by this point in time, you may have already figured out who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Dr. Will and Dr. Charlie Mayo of the Mayo Clinic. These two brothers established this clinic, and now if you're sick, if people say, you need to go to the Mayo Clinic, you know, that they have they're innovators in medicine, that they do a lot of research, you know. Some of you may remember the Mayo Clinic diet that how many remember that? You know, you ate things in combinations and stuff like that. Not a fan, by the way. You know, great food and boiled eggs just don't go together to me. But it was just, today it's just associated with people who just know things. And they're always very generous in how they share things. And that may have been what got them so world recognized. And there are probably treatments today that you or family members or people benefit that originate out of the Mayo Clinic. Recently, a few years ago, the Mayo Clinic really began looking at some, what are the factors for health and longevity? What are some of the things that really promote health? And they identified, it seems odd maybe to think about it, but one of the things that really correlates highly to good health is friendship. People who have friendships tend to have better health, and when they are affected by illness and disease, tend to have better resiliency from that. But they identified five specific factors related to the health benefits of friendship. The first was friendship increases your sense of belonging and purpose. The second, friendship boosts your happiness and reduces your stress. The third, friendship improves your self-confidence and self-worth. The fourth one, friendships help you cope with traumas such as divorce, serious illness, job loss, or the death of a loved one. And the last one, friendships encourage you to change or avoid unhealthy lifestyle habits, such as excessive drinking or the lack of exercise. So these were just five areas which they identified were the benefits of friendship. We sung a song tonight, and most of us, we know this song, we know it from heart, we don't have to look at the words or even the hymnal. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's really a song that sort of tears at the heartstrings, and it has these beautiful words about, you know what he means to us. But when I began reflecting on the Mayo Clinic five benefits of friendship, we have those benefits as believers. According to God's words, with friendship with Jesus. These five benefits that the Mayo Clinic identify with friendship are just as true as our friendship with Jesus. The first one we talked about was the ideal of friendship increasing your sense of belonging and purpose. We're all sort of familiar with John and John chapter 13, 14, 15, what Jesus' statements were regarding his disciples. But in John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus makes this statement about belonging to his disciples. He says, "No longer do I call you servants. I'm not calling you servants any longer. For a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Jesus called his followers friends. Wow. We don't always think about maybe that that's one of the benefits of being a Christian, but that I'm a friend of Jesus. Now, you've heard the old adage, it's not always what you know, but who you know. In this case, it's who you know. Jesus will also say in the Gospel of John, he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." So Jesus is that person that we know, and Jesus is that person whom we have friendship with. It gives us a place of belonging. It's identified who we are in Jesus. We are his friends. And then Jesus also says that we have a purpose. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says that we are the light of the world. Jesus declares us as being the people who bring light into a dark world. Now, we don't create our own light. We are simply reflecting the light that is Jesus. He says, "I am the light," as he said in John. We are reflecting his light into the dark places of this world. Wherever we go tomorrow, whether to school or to work, or where we find ourselves tomorrow in the community, we are bringing light into the world. You will come in contact with some people who may have spent their Sunday in church, like you have. But you'll probably come in contact with many others that wasn't even on their ideas of things to do on a Sunday. And so when they ask you, you know, did you have a good weekend? Hopefully you'll have something good to say about what happened to you in the church on Sunday. Or maybe you have something good to say about what your friendship with Jesus means. You know, friends tend to talk to other people about friends. And maybe that's one of the things that you can do to secure your friendship with Jesus. Is in being the light of the world, you simply share with people what Jesus means to you, what this friendship means to you. Also in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus makes this statement. He said, "You are the salt of the earth." You're the salt of the earth. Now, in our experience, that may not mean a lot because you can go to the local grocery store and buy a pretty good-sized container of salt relatively cheap. But in Jesus' time, in ancient times, salt was of great value. In certain circumstances, salt was actually used for currency because it was so precious. It wasn't something easily to access. Salt was actually used as currency. And so Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." And in being the salt of the earth, we bring something that seasons this world and helps to save things that are at risk of being lost. Many of you may have grew up in the country, and when it got fall of the year, after maybe a frost or two, it was hog killing time. Okay? And it was a big effort, and people in the community would gather and help each other slaughter their hogs. But we also got excited because we knew when the salt came out and all that came out, that in a few weeks or a few months, something good was going to come of that. You take that salt and you rub them hams and you rub them sides and you run that middle and you rub it down real good and you take it and let it and let it just cure for a little while. And you take that salt and wash it off, then you hang it up and smoke it. And you had something to look forward to for several months to come. Bacon and ham and jaw meat fried. You see, it's had something to save it. And the thing that saved it was the salt. In other cultures around, and this may be the case in Trinidad and Tobago, they use salt to cure their fish. They catch the fresh fish, but it spoils rather rapidly, so they cure it in salt. And they can preserve it for a long time, and they do saltwater fish, and they can rehydrate it and use it and cook it with it. Jesus says his people, his friends, his disciples, are that element in the world that brings light, but also brings some kind of saving agent into this world. This was sort of a preview of what the gospel is going to be, because as a child of God, as a Christian, you have the keys of the kingdom. You have the capacity to share the gospel message with someone. You never know the potential influence that you're going to be. Josh Winningham's half-sister was baptized this afternoon, and Josh, no doubt, was a big influence in that, encouraging them to come to church, inviting them. So we never, any of us, know our potential in doing this. But Jesus has a way of describing to us our need, our belonging to him, and our purpose in this world. According to the Mayo Clinic, friendship can boost your happiness and reduce your stress. Have you ever met maybe an earthly friend and maybe you were a little bit down or maybe you're a little bit blue or maybe a little bit bothered or something, and you spent some time with them and you maybe laughed or maybe just talked or maybe just shared a moment with, and you left feeling better? You left being built up and edified? When we really begin envisioning Jesus as having that kind of friendship with us, that we can be better because of him, that it can help us to reduce our stress and boost our happiness. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, "He, if anyone, knew how potentially powerful Jesus can transform your life." Paul knew the kind of man he was before Jesus, and knew the kind of man he was after Jesus, and he knew Jesus on a very intimate level. And he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Be anxious for nothing. Some of the more modern translations simply say it this way: don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through, listen to this, through Christ Jesus. Paul, over 2,000 years ago, know what the Mayo Clinic just told us, that Jesus can help reduce our stress and boost our happiness. In other words, what bothers us bothers Jesus. What Jesus wants us to do is lean upon Him, draw upon His strength to help us face life's challenges and life's burdens. Jeffrey's lesson this morning on Job really underscores the importance of trusting God in this process. Now, one of the things that Job said, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. The word Job uses there is the word Goel, which means my kinsman redeemer. I know that someone related to me will stand and redeem me from my circumstances. Many people believe that Job was almost making a prophetic statement about who Jesus was going to be, our redeemer, our deliverer. Paul taught others that true path of happiness was to have friendship with Jesus. He alone can help us truly be happy and deal with the stresses of life. There's a passage in the Proverbs that says, there is a friend that's closer than a brother. Many people identify that he's sort of almost prophetically talking about our potential relationship with Jesus, who can be more closely to us as any physical brother or sister that we can imagine. We can have that kind of relationship with Jesus. I'm guessing many of you, if you were sort of pushed to admitting it, you have conversations with Jesus quite frequently. Maybe it's in your thoughts. Maybe it's in your prayers. Maybe it's in the maybe it's in the statement, Lord, help me get through this. But that's what Paul is saying that we can do with Jesus. We can trust Him to help reduce our stress, to lift our burden. According to the Mayo Clinic, friendship can improve your self-confidence and self-worth. Self-confidence, people benefit from believing they can do things. We know from what we sort of know in science right now that children who taught how to be resilient can shake off a lot of traumas of life. The ability to just think they can, as the little red engine said, to think that they can overcome, to think that they can overcome the obstacle, to believe this. The Mayo Clinic's tapping into a truth about self-confidence and self-worth, that friendship is associated with it. Most of us find any burden in life or any difficulty in life more easy to deal with when we have someone to help us with it, right? No matter what it is, you like to have some help. Several years ago, I've told this story before, but it really illustrates this very well for me. It was a Friday night, and we were getting ready to go, and we all cleaned up, and the kids were still pretty young, and then we were about ready to leave, and I hear water running downstairs. Now, we don't have a bathroom downstairs, but I hear water running, okay? And so when I go to the top of the basement step and look down, I hear water sort of flowing through the basement. And what had happened, the metal hanger that held the sewage line, up to the floor joists had broken, and when it did, the joint came apart. And so what was happening is the septic tank sewage was going into our basement floor. And it was a mess. And so I told Tammy, I said, honey, just take the kids. We were going to take the kids and go get something to eat. Just take the boys and go on. I'll clean this up. So I was trying to get the wet vac out and something like that. And a few minutes later, I hear someone at the top of the stairs, and there's my wife in a pair of rubber boots. And I said, "You've never looked more beautiful to me." But the idea of having someone to help us, Paul knows this. He says in Philippians chapter 4, 13, it's a power of Scripture. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Friendship with Jesus allows us to do the most difficult things in life. He says, "I can do it all through Jesus who strengthens me." Now, this wasn't a man who had an easy life. This wasn't someone who, he's sitting in a recliner somewhere. You know, this is a man who had hardship, shipwreck, beaten, stoned and left for dead. He says, "I was in perils often. People were out to get me." He says, "But you know what? I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me." That was his mantra. That was his statement. So a friendship with Jesus, relationship with Jesus, can help us improve our self-confidence and our self-worth. It's not me. It's Christ working in me and through me that allows me to do what I do. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4 gives us amazing insight to the potential of friendship, what the friendship with Jesus really means. He said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, "Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world." Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I think when we look in context, unless this is morning, we think about Satan, the great accuser. That's what Job discovered. No matter what Satan did to him, with God's help, he overcame. One of the interesting commentaries in the book of Job, at the end of the book of the Job, it says, Job was greater and more blessed in the end than he was in the beginning. I don't know exactly how, but I take it by faith and by God's word that was true. John says that Jesus is greater than anything in this world. Perhaps no verse more clearly explains your worth and how precious you are as a friend of Jesus than John 3:16. We all know it. "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Let me ask you this. Have you ever said John 3:16 and substituted your name for the world? "For God so loved your name." "For God so loved Mark, Jeffer." "For God so loved Pat, Lori." "For God so loved Lisa." "For God so loved Shirley." "For God so loved Ellie." "For God so loved." And it takes nothing from that verse. In fact, it may mean more meaning, because God loved you enough to give his only begotten Son. I'm talking about making you feel like you're worthy of something. When the creator of the world, Jesus' fingerprints are all over creation, John says in John, when he's willing to die for you, and God expresses love for you so much to sacrifice him, talk about self-worth. Talk about self-worth. There's a story that comes from the Polynesian Islands, a man named Johnny Lingo. Johnny Lingo was wealthy. Johnny Lingo was good-looking. And Johnny Lingo had the world by the tail. And every father on the island wanted their daughter to marry Johnny Lingo. But Johnny Lingo wasn't interested in any girl on the island but Mahana. And people could not understand. Because the joke was, Mahana had a face of stone. She never smiled. She was not considered particularly pretty. She was not considered particularly attractive. but that's the only girl he ever showed any interest in. And the custom of the island is that when it came time to give a daughter's hand in marriage, that you would give a dowry to the father. You would give a gift to the father. And because it was an agrarian society, most often times or not, it was agricultural items, you know, livestock, you know. And a dowry price was somewhat set as at a cow. So if you gave the father a cow, that you meant that, you know, that was a gift that you gave him. And so Mahana's father knew that, you know, she was not overly attractive. She seemed to be somewhat stone-faced, they said. And so the people of the island were very curious about this. But it came time for him to make his pronouncement to the father to ask for Mahana's hand in marriage. And he goes to his father. And so the father thinks, you know, I'm afraid he's going to lowball me here because, you know, she's not the prettiest girl in the village. And so the father says, I would take 3 cows for my daughter. You know, and everyone sort of broke out laughing because they were, you know, he was lucky to get, you know, maybe a good pig. But, you know, he was asking for 3 cows. And everyone sort of laughed. But Johnny Lingo said this amazing thing. He says, 3 cows is a great price to pay for a girl. And he says, Mahana's not worth it. And people in the community, yeah, that's right, you know, lowballing. He says, I will give you 8 cows for Mahana. She is worth 8 cows. And people were just, they couldn't believe it. Some people thought he was just doing this to flaunt his wealth, to flaunt his prestige. Everybody in the community talked about it except for the shopkeeper. Because the shopkeeper had Johnny Lingo had come to the store and made an order before he got married for his wife a gift, for his future wife a gift. And so everyone else was sort of, Johnny Lingo just did this to show, he, you know, she's really not that precious, not that pretty. And so they get married. The father gets 8 cows. And she comes back. And she seems transformed. In fact, some people even doubt that it's the same woman he took off and married because she seems transformed. But the shopkeeper kept a secret. You know what the gift was that Johnny Lingo bought his future bride? He ordered a mirror for her. A beautiful framed mirror for her to look into the mirror to see her beautiful smile. He saw something in her that no one else had ever seen. In fact, he said, I've loved her since we were children. You see, we can relate to a human story about love, but God has that kind of love toward us. In fact, Paul said in Romans, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we had the capacity to be transformed to his image, the beauty of Christ, he died for us. Fourthly, the Mayo Clinic indicates that friendship can help you cope with trauma such as divorce, serious illness, job loss, or death of a loved one. Jesus is a friend that is with us in all times. Jesus and John the Apostle had a special relationship. He said, I'm the one he loved. I'm sure you'd say, John says, you know, I was one of his best friends. I was the inner circle. But John tells us a lot. John tells us about some more friends that Jesus had. Jesus was friends with Lazarus, and with Martha, with Mary, his sister. And to understand the depth of Jesus' love for his friends, when Jesus receives words that Lazarus is sick, Jesus tarries. And then his disciples say, well, you know, shouldn't we get going? And Jesus says, well, Lazarus is sleeping. They say, well, that's a good thing. It's good for sick people to sleep. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. They're in shock. Why didn't we go sooner? Jesus says, this is done so that you may believe and God may be glorified. So Jesus gets there. You know the story that the sisters come to him, that if you'd not been here, a brother would still be living. And Jesus says, you'll see him in the resurrection. You'll see your brother again. I know the resurrection. And then Jesus says, where is he? And they say, the tomb. And he says, take me there. And he says, open the tomb. And the sister protests and says, no, don't. he's going to stink. He's going to smell. His body's decomposing. But we have this statement that Jesus made, that John made. It's a memory verse we can all remember. Two words. What? Jesus wept. There's not an experience that you have in this life that Jesus cannot relate to. He knows betrayal. He knows loss. He knows suffering. And his full human experience, it came down upon him. He knew what he was going to do. He already foreshadowed this earlier in the chapter. He knew what he was going to do. But in that moment, he felt what we feel and he wept. He's not foreign to our emotional feelings. He wept. Jesus is touched by our grief. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it said that he will never leave us or forsake us. If all the world abandons you, if everyone turns against you and you remain faithful to the Lord, guess what? He's not going to ever leave you or forsake you. He cares for you. No human friend, no matter how good they are, can be compared to Jesus. Lastly, the Mayo Clinic says that friendship can encourage you to change or avoid unhealthy lifestyle habits, such as excessive drinking or lack of exercise. True friends want the best for us. They always want what's best for us. True friends do. Jesus wants what's best for us, and he wants us to avoid anything that we do that could hurt us. Jesus wants to help us overcome it. With this help, as Paul says, all things are possible. It was a high-tech toy when I was little. That was a long time ago. But an Etch-a-Sketch. Remember the Etch-a-Sketch? It had little knobs. And you twist little knobs. Okay, for you kids, this was pre-video games. Okay, it didn't take any batteries. It had something on the inside, and you moved this thing, and it moved around, and you could make little drawings and stuff like that. So how many of you played with Etch-a-Sketch? Okay. I loved an Etch-a-Sketch. You know why? Because you could shake it up and start all over again. Okay? All things became new. Okay. There was a little one that went a little back further than that. It was a magic slate, but you know that was not quite as much fun. Jesus sort of does this Etch-a-Sketch thing on our life. He shakes it up and all things become new. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 14, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus makes all things possible. And even more so, he is our example. If we follow him, we will put away unhealthy life habits. Now, I'm probably not the one to be giving exercise recommendations and fitness recommendations, but I will tell you this, and I think it's true. The best exercise you can ever do, listen to me carefully, is walk with Jesus. Amen? Walk with Jesus. And the interesting thing is that Jesus is not trying to beat us. He's not trying to outrun us or outpace us. In 3 John 11, John says, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but who does evil has not seen God. If we are truly serious about walking with Jesus, we begin to remove the things in our life that are harmful. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God. You know, when you try to walk with someone, try to match their pace. If someone invites you to walk with them, you try to match their pace. But the problem is, in this life, if we're not real careful in our walk with our friendship with Jesus, the burden of sin keeps us from keeping pace with Jesus. He's not trying to outrun us. He's just trying to keep us on the right path. Now, imagine going for a walk. But before you go for a walk, you pick up every rock you can, and you fill your pockets full of rocks. They're bulging. They're full of rocks. Now go for a walk. That's pretty ridiculous. That's pretty stupid. But that's really what the Hebrew writer is saying. He says, get rid of the sin, the weight that's slowing you down. Confess it. Deal with it. Turn it over to God. Whatever you need. And then walk the race that's set before you. But you'll never walk it alone, because Jesus is with us. Staying in sin as a believer is like trying to run with rocks in your pocket. It's not pretty, and it's going to be a whole lot harder. Our friend Jesus wants us to run with Him. We need to drop that weight that holds us back. Now, if you want to boost your happiness and reduce stress, you want to improve your self-confidence and self-worth, you want to cope with traumas better, you want to change or avoid unhealthy life habits, you need a friend. And I can recommend no better friend to you this evening than Jesus. Of all the people in the world you could ever choose to be a friend, there is none better than Jesus. Brother Ronnie led us in the song tonight about Jesus and our friendship. If you're here tonight and we can assist you in your own decision about following Jesus in any way, everything's prepared. We're ready. If we can assist you in any way, I want you guys to stand and sing the song.